Lord then asked, "What do you think, Subhuti? If son or daughter of good family had filled this world system of 1,000 million worlds with seven precious things and then give it as a gift to the Tathagata, Arahat, for enlightened ones, would they on the strength of that beget a good heap of merit?" Subhuti replied, "Great O Lord, great O well gone, would that heap of merit be? And why? Because the Tathagata spoke of the heap of merit as a non-heap. That is how the Tathagata speaks of a heap of merit." The Lord said, "But if someone else, what you take from this discourse on Dharma, but one stanza of four lines, and would demonstrate and illustrate it in full detail to others, then he would, on the strength of that, beget a still greater heap of merit, immeasurable and incalculable. And why? Because from it has issued the utmost right and perfect enlightenment of the Tathagatas, Arahats, for enlightened ones, and from it have issued the Buddha, the Lord. And why? For the Tathagata has taught that the Dhammas special to the Buddhas are just not the Buddha's special Dhammas. That is why they are called the Dhammas special to the Buddha." Well, I think you remember the Buddha asked Subhuti before, "If there is nothing to experience, nothing special to experience and to preach, how does the Buddha experience and preach the Dhamma?" Buddha said to the Subhuti, "Is there particular Dhamma he has enlightened? Or is there particular Dhamma he has preached?" So Subhuti says, No Dhamma the Buddha Shakyamuni has experienced. No Dhamma which the Buddha Shakyamuni has preached. If it is true, how does the Buddha experience and preach the Dhamma? This chapter 8 is the answer to this question. According to the practice of perfection of giving, one of the six parameters, in Buddhism usually there are three kinds of giving, the perfection of giving. One is material gift, second is Dhamma gift, third is the giving of fearlessness. Material gifts, Dhamma gifts. But if you don't have any material gifts, or if you don't have any capability to preach Dhamma, what should you give? In one of the scriptures, there are seven kinds of giving. For such a person who don't have any material gift and Dhamma gift. What is giving with eyes? This is to come in contact with people with tender look. This is also one giving, okay, practice. Even though you don't have any materials or dhammas, you can preach, still there is a practice of giving. So, first one is giving with eyes. The second, giving with faith. It means to come in contact with the people with a soft, gentle, and joyous expression on one's face. This is second. The third, this is very important. It's not necessary to always smile. To smile always, it's not necessary to do that. But if you have very gentle, soft, magnanimous, joyous mind, your face speaks of your mind. How joyous it is, how gentle it is, even though you don't smile. But if your mind is always angry or always expressing the complaints, etc., your face always something miserable, ugly, even though you smile. Do you understand? So, second is giving with faith. The third, giving with words. It means to use peaceful words. When one comes in contact with people, peaceful words is very important. But peaceful words is not always gentle, not always soft. Okay. Sometimes, even though the word is very pithy or very strong, it is also peaceful when it makes it worse, when it is helpful for the person to turn over his own new life. So, but even though it's not necessary to scold or to scream always, that is very interesting story. One of the Japanese famous novelists who had one of his son who wasted lots of money. And he sold, this novelist was also one of the great painters. So he painted and lots of pictures were at his room. Sometimes he could sell them, but usually he didn't sell them. But his son always sold most of them without saying anything. In order to spend, in order to spend his life at the bar, drink of beer, wine, whiskey, all of it. Finally, unfortunately, he got the ulcer. So he went to the hospital to recover, but unfortunately, at that time, he recovered. But after that, he still continued to spend lots of money to drink brandy. So finally, he got the cancer. Well, on the way, the day until his death, the father didn't scold at all. He didn't say anything. But his brothers and sisters were really angry with the father because he didn't say anything to him, just to watch him. Well, this novelist was one of the very enthusiastic Buddhists, believing at the teaching of Lotus Sutra. So in Lotus Sutra, all is explaining the oneness of the world, So, right before he die with cancer, he really expressed appreciation to his father. He didn't say anything, but the son really expressed his gratitude to father. This is beautiful because world is one. So it's not always for using the rough words, but it's not always use the soft words or gentle words. It really depends on the situation. So, but basically, anyway, we have to practice giving with words. The fourth, the giving with the body, that means to help people with body first. sometimes most of people think something with their head. Saying I want to help the people, or I think I can believe. If you think in Buddhism, to think is not to think. Think is to do something with body. So to believe is to practice with your body. But to believe is not to do something with mind alone. You cannot do this. So if you believe something, you have to do with body. On the other hand, you cannot do with your body alone. So next, the giving with mind. You have to do something with body, and also mind must be present with body, because we are human. If you're a cat and dog, you can do with just the body alone. If you have a breakfast, of course, you have to have a breakfast with your body first. No breakfast with the mind. So first, we have to have a breakfast with body, but you are not cat, you are not dog. So you have to have a breakfast with mind. That means, why don't you use a fork? Why don't you sit down on the chair? Why don't you keep silent? Why don't you appreciate food given to you? Why don't you appreciate your existence? Why don't you appreciate your parents, teachers, sisters and brothers, nature? This is a way to have a breakfast with body and mind. This is also great practice of perfection of six parameter giving. Six. six is just to praise others' good doings in one's mind. six, gift of making room for a person and offering a blanket or blanket to people. Sometimes if you have a bus, all the people come in, but young people don't care whoever comes in. So he keeps sitting. But if you see the old people ride on the bus, why don't you make room for them? And sometimes you can offer the cushion, blanket, and sleeping bag, or stone, etc. Seventh, a gift of sharing a room with the people. Sometimes you can share a room with the people. Those seven practices are the perfection of giving. For a person who don't have any material gifts and Dhamma gifts. but the strictly speaking, material gifts and Dhamma gifts are all on the same footing. For example, if material gifts are given to a person of a precious fiber, one can help him to study and practice the teachings and become a preacher. Material gifts of this kind are on an equal footing with Dhamma gifts, because in the future he will be a preacher to give teaching, Buddha's teaching to people. Or by Dhamma gifts, one can regain one's footing from difficulties in one's life and feel grateful for one's life without wasting any kinds of materials. Dhamma gifts of this sort are of the same value as material gifts, even though one is very poor. Even though one has just little materials to live to the minimum, he can find happiness in such a situation, because he can listen to Dhamma, he can listen to Dhamma teaching given by preachers and people. Dr. Conte said in his comment, the merit derived from material gifts is called great. That derived from the spiritual gift of the Dhamma, immeasurable and incalculable, inconceivable, incomparable, and measureless. To be generous with material things brings a great reward. Wealth or reputation in a future life or even rebirth in heaven. But the end of chapter 7, the sutra discriminate between material gift and Dhamma gift. Dhamma gift merit derived from the Dhamma gift is greater than merit of material gift. So, Dr. Conte says, infinitely greater is the reward of those who teach the Dhamma. Their spiritual welfare and stature will grow by leaps and bounds, and ultimately they will become fit to gain the Dhamma body of a fully enlightened Buddha. So that means that the Dhamma gifts are the direct cause of leading people to reach the spiritual welfare and stature, so-called enlightenment or Dhamma body. So in terms of givers and gifts themselves, there are no discrimination between the material gifts and Dhamma gifts. But in terms of recipient, there are discrimination between the two. the Dhamma gifts is, I told you before, Dhamma gifts are direct cause of leading people to reach the spiritual welfare factor, so-called enlightenment or Dhamma body. In Buddhism, Buddha body is divided into three. One is Dhamma body. The second is Nirmana body. The third is Sambhogakaya Buddha. Nirmana Kaya Buddha, Sambhogakaya Buddha, Dhammakaya Buddha. Dhammakaya Buddha means Dhamma body, or Dhamma itself, or the essential nature of Dhamma. That is Buddha himself. That is essential characteristic and character of the Buddha. So, we call essential nature of Dharma the Buddha himself. That is called Dhammakaya Buddha. Dhammakaya Buddha. The second Nirmanakaya Buddha is visible Buddha. Visible Buddha. For example, Shakyamuni Buddha, who was born 2500 years ago in India as a human. This is Nirmanakaya Buddha. The third, Sambhogakaya Buddha, that is what we can reach at the stage of the Buddha as a result through one's virtual quality and practice as a cause. In the context of the understandable way, this is Sambhogakaya Buddha. So Dhammakaya Buddha, Dhamma itself, or essential nature of Buddha himself, is complete beyond human speculation. You can't grasp it. That's why they know Dhamma, which Shakyamuni Buddha has experienced and preached. Because Dhamma itself is completely beyond human speculation. But Nirmanakaya Buddha is this Buddha as human. So Buddha as a human tried to teach Dhamma itself, but that Dhamma explained by Shakyamuni Buddha as a human is no Dhamma. It's not real Dhamma, because Dhamma is completely beyond human speculation. But on the other hand, so Dhamma, okay, real Dhamma, Dhamma itself mentioned by, explained by Buddha is no Dhamma. That's why in Diamond Sutra, always says Dhamma is no Dhamma. This is Dhamma. That's not contradictory, but this is really true. Because truth is complete human speculation. Even though you can teach, you can explain what the truth is, with this body and mind as a human, the truth mentioned, explained by you, is no truth. It's far from, okay, real truth. But if it is true, is there no way to teach? Shouldn't we teach the Dhamma? But we have to teach, because there is Sambhogakaya Buddha, which means you can reach at the stage of Buddha by your own virtual quality, what you have accumulated in the past. You have planted good seed in the past. This is your body and mind, which exists now as a result. This is your existence. That's why your existence is very valuable. So, using this, this virtual quality and practice, which we can understand, using our head, knowledge, depth of knowledge, and then we try to practice, and then we can reach the stage of Buddha. That is Sambhogakaya Buddha. Sambhogakaya Buddha. That means real Dharma explained by human body is completely no Dharma. Okay? No Dharma. Not real Dharma. There is already contradictory structure. But through no Dharma, there is Dharma you can explain. So, verbal explanation of Dharma is no Dharma, not real Dharma, but through verbal explanation of Dharma, you can reach real Dharma. Real Dharma. That's what verbal explanation of the Dharma is very important for us, because through words, through this, we can experience, we can preach, and we can lead, people to be fit to gain the truth, or enlightenment, or Buddha. That's why words are important. This is Sambhogakaya. So using your head, knowledge, you have to study one by one. That is as a background, that is Buddhist philosophy, Buddhist psychology as a background behind the little switch of TV set. In our daily living, we have to always turn on a switch. Getting up in the morning, turn on a switch. If you go to work, go to work. Turn on a switch. Every moment, we have to turn on a switch. That's all we have to do. But on the other hand, even though you understand human life through this, continuous turning on the switch every moment, but it is not real Dharma. You cannot reach the real Dharma. So, because behind the switch there are huge worlds unfolded, that is electricity, the universal energy, electric waves, human effort, lots of things going on. Music, many things. And then we have to learn one by one, this is philosophy, psychology, at the background. And then through this understandable way to the total picture of the truth. According to philosophical and psychological explanation, we can reach at the stage of the Buddha as a result. That is Sambhogakaya Buddha. Sambhogakaya Buddha. And so, from this point, the real Dharma, is something which you cannot touch, or you cannot ignore it, because sometimes the truth, if the truth is beyond human speculation, well, sometimes you try to ignore you try not to study or practice, so a naturally no hope will be found in your life. But it is not a good way, because we are right in the middle of the truth or Dharma or Buddha. Regardless of whether you don't like or you are conscious of it or not, we are there. So, even though you try to ignore, you cannot ignore, because you are right in the middle of truth. So you have to realize that where you are, and then through the practice, through the virtual quality you have had, you can realize what the truth is. And then if you realize the truth, you can explain what the truth is. At that time, naturally, we try to attach to the truth explained by our human body and mind. But it is not real truth. So, real Dharma is neither attachment nor disattachment, nor detachment, nor attachment. So, we have to always practice in the realm of the truth, regardless of whether we are conscious of it or not. This is a practice, okay? Just a practice. And then through this practice, sooner or later you will reach at the stage of the Buddha, at the stage of the same experience which the Buddha experienced. That is individual religious life, individual experience of religious life. But you can't attach individual experience, because it is individual, it is not universal truth. So you cannot attach to individual experience of religious life. But through the individual experience of the truth, you can explain what the truth is, so you can explain. And by the explanation of the truth, you can lead the people to be fit to gain the core of human life. That's why explanation is important. Even though explanation of the Dharma is not real Dharma, but it is Dharma, because through the Dharma explained by you, lead the people to be fit to gain the truth. So, there is nothing to attach to Sambhogakaya, to Nirmanakaya, to Dhammakaya Buddha. Nothing. All you have to do is, at the stage of each moment, when the time comes to teach, just to preach. When the time comes to practice, just to practice. When the time comes to keep silent, just to keep silent. This is simple practice. So, finally, in the chapter 8, the Buddha Dharma, the Tathagata has told that the Dharma special to the Buddhas are just not the Buddha's special Dharmas. That is why they are called the Dharma special to the Buddha. That means Buddha Dharma is the Buddha Dharma mentioned by human body, human speculation, is no Buddha Dharma. Because Buddha Dharma is complete beyond human speculation. Truth itself. You cannot touch. If you touch it, your body is burned out. If you ignore it, your body and mind is frozen. So you cannot ignore, you cannot touch it. This is real state of the truth, which exists constantly with you wherever you may go. So, you have to open your eyes to see the Dharma truth constantly under all circumstances. Neither touch nor ignore. Always. Just to practice. Open your eyes. Openness of your heart toward it. How? Through the practice. Through the individual virtual quality you have planted in the past. A good plant, good seed in the past. So, no Buddha Dharma is real Buddha Dharma. Is real Buddha Dharma. Or, before that, before the chapter 8 says, no heap of merit is real merit. No heap of the merit is real merit. In other words, no merit is real merit. Merit is two kinds of merit. Worldly merit. If you practice something, you can experience. That individual experience is kind of merit. Worldly merit. But real merit is completely no merit, because you cannot attach to individual experience of merit. Okay? Individual merit, no. Real merit is completely no merit. No merit is real merit. Real merit. If you completely throw away, give it to somebody, if your individual experience is given to the truth or universe again, at that time, you can get real merit. For instance, if you chant the sutra to the Buddha, this is practice, but through the practice, we expect something from the practice, ritual, by chanting the sutra, the merit of the chanting sutra can reach to the Buddha's heart or not. Of course. But actually, all you have to do is just chant of the sutra. But by the chanting the sutra, then naturally you can experience something from ritual, but that experience is completely individual. But I always tell you, there is no reason to attach to individual experience. Next, you have to put it apart. So all you have to do is practically just continue to chant of the sutra in the presence of Buddha. Just to practice Zazen. That is Shikan Zazen or Shikan chanting. This is meaning of Zen Buddhistic ritual. So no merit. Always put aside individual experience, whatever it is, and then continually chant. That is no merit. But this no merit is really merit, because you can fail yourself in the middle of ritual. Very stable. So sooner or later, you can touch to the core of existence. That is no heap of merit. Okay? So according to Dogen's term, giving is not to covet. Not to covet. I told you the last Wednesday, I read a piece of poem by Rilke. Which occurs in the Dueno elegy, Dueno elegy. He is in the later year of his life. In this book, he really explains oneness of life and death. Apparently, that poem seems to be a pessimistic view of human life, but actually not. I read just a piece of poem. He pointed out the attitude of human life, what we do usually. He says, never, not for a single day, do we have pure space in which the flowers are always unfolded? Unfolded. Never. Not for a single day. Because if you get the merit, we stay with the merit. Okay. We never, never, not for a single day. This is very usual state of human life. Always stay with small world created by individual. At that time, then naturally we can fight, we can create problems. So he says that is what destiny is, to be face to face. There is forever world and opposed. But why don't you do we have we had pure space in which the flowers are always unfolded? That means universe. Or truth. It is important to face to face, but not always face to face. Without face to being face to face, we can't experience individual life. If you want to practice, you have to face. You have to present with the then, practice face to face, directly. And then very naturally you can experience individual things. But at that time, there is no merit. That means criticized. And then why don't you open your heart? Why don't you throw away your heart to the space, pure space? Pure space means not face to face. Not face to face. Just be with the Zen, if you do the Zen. Just be present with the Gassho, if you do Gassho. Just have breakfast with the mind and the body. That means we have to be sometimes behind breakfast or next to side by side to the breakfast, not face to face. Or sometimes just be in. Be right in. Would sometimes be just next breath, or just be nestling close to the breath, and walk hand in hand. This is very important, without saying anything, without arguing or whatever it is. Why is it we have to have a breakfast every morning? We have to, when the time comes to have a breakfast, it's just to have a breakfast. If you don't want, don't have a breakfast. That's all. No problem. But if you're always face to face, with the presence, with the breakfast, face to face, according to your intellectual sense, so you create lots of argument. Why? But in India, they have just one meal a day. Why don't you have one meal a day? If you want, you can have. But lots of complaints, argument. But no matter how long you argue with any problem, any subject, the argument is going endless. Finally, all you have to do is keep your mouth shut just above breakfast with your bed. That's all we have to do. So, that's why, anyway, Rilke said to us what we do usually. Never, not for a single day. We don't have pure space in which the flowers are always unfolded. But we are always face to face, fighting each other's argument, arguing always. This is a usual attitude of human life. But you can't do this in that way, because we are human beings. So, sometimes, sooner or later, you have to be in pure space, in which the flowers are always unfolded, even though you don't like it. Because we are there already. Sooner or later, we have to realize. So, this is that is always the explain the Buddha Dharma or merit negative, in a negative sense. In Diamond Sutra. So, negative sense, no merit, no Buddha Dharma, that means to destroy that Buddha Dharma itself, or truth itself, or merit itself. No merit, no Buddha Dharma is attachment. Attachment to merit, individual merit, individual Buddha Dharma we experienced. This is always suggestions, hint Buddhism always do. Criticize toward human life. Criticize human life always. Because we don't realize usually. If Buddhism use the negative sense, you will get the big shock. Why? Suffering? Life is characterized by the suffering. What's that? You don't like it. That is a really big shock to your mind. That's very good medicine for you. It is bitter, but bitterness is always good medicine. So, that's why Buddhism always use unusual terms. Negative, in the negative sense. But it's not real negative. It's positive. It's really positive. Because that is such a human. Okay? wisdom is based upon, ego, based upon. Because human is pretty weak. If you're strong, it's not necessary to be stubborn. We can open pretty easily. But we are weak. That's why in order to protect weakness, we have to be stubborn. Do you understand? We all do. That's why in order to not destroy, in order to realize the bonus of the ego, unfortunately, we have to experience big shocks, physically and psychologically. We don't like it, but we have to do it. Okay. Do you have some questions?
In one of D.T.'s resistance books, he says that enlightenment is forgetfulness. Is that true?
Okay, so. In other words, enlightenment is no enlightenment. That is real enlightenment. If you say, enlightenment, do you think, is individual experience of enlightenment. That is not universal enlightenment. Universal enlightenment has no frame, which is called enlightenment, or which is called not enlightenment, no frame. That is real picture of the truth. That's why forgetfulness is real enlightenment. Term is different, but same. So you must be free from enlightenment that you have experienced. And then at that time, that is really enlightenment. I always tell you, if you take if you gain a degree or PhD as a doctor, well, you can always stay after the PhD without working with the people. So you have to forget degree or PhD. And then all you have to do is to be stupid and work with the people. See the people's body and anyway, examine day after day. There is no reason to stay with title of the PhD or doctor. So always we have to be free from experience we have had individually. Not only enlightenment, but also whatever you do, painter, or photographer, mountaineer, or dancer, whatever you want to do. This is final goal you have to do. If you want to be a real great dancer or painter, you have to be forget. You have to be forget. Continually, you must be stupid and continually practice. That is real enlightenment.